this one better than the last one. Well, Scorpion action. BT and Sound, 888-808-1019 is our number. It's 101. Guys doing a good job on the phones. A couple of good topics to jump into. Yeah, to me, the Stafford stuff's a no-brainer. I don't get wrapped up in money too much. Number one, as Tiki likes to say, and he's right, the money's fungible, okay? But there's also a $20 million cap increase. So, you know, really, I mean, it just seems like a lot, but it's not. And I don't understand the protest for money for quarterbacks when that is a direct correlation to the amount of enjoyment that you get sitting on your couch watching these teams play. Ugh. There's no way I could. Now, I wouldn't give. Listen, with Darnold, Darnold's not coming back to the Jets. And I don't think the Giants, I don't know. Maybe they make a move for Darnold, but I don't think that they will. But you can't give Sam Darnold $40 million. He's not worth it. Okay, would you rather watch Tommy DeVito, no disrespect, or Tyrod Taylor? Would you really? No. So, to me, I don't get too wrapped up in that. I just need to know that the younger players have a chance to, you know, be carried along here. And that's the value. That's what I thought the value of Rodgers was going to be. And it would have been if he didn't get hurt and the Jets had better coaching. But I do think that Stafford will provide that. He'll provide that for Malik Nabers. And he'll provide that for others. You know, you talk about changing the culture. It's not always up to the coach. Now, that's part of the main responsibility. But culture can change by, you know, just an increase in work habits. I'll give you a good example. You know, so I don't know if you've been, well, many of you have. I don't know if all of you have. I'm probably not. But many of you have watched the documentaries on Rick Pitino, the docuseries Pitino Red Storm Rising, which is phenomenal. Last night was episode 3. And, you know, the young man on the team, Ibean Ayo, who was with Rick at Iona, as was Dennis Jenkins, who's now in the NBA, two-way contract with the Pistons. When Rick took over St. John's last year, his first year, not this year, he brought two players with him from Iona. Jenkins wound up being a stud, and he was always a stud. And Ibean Ayo was more of a practice guy, you know, spot minutes here. But you bring a player like that because he will help carry out the marching orders for the coach, setting the tone in practice, the work ethic, the expectations, and that's, I mean, loosely translated, because it's the pros versus college, but Rick Pitino himself is directly changing the culture of St. John's, clearly, but, you know, somebody like Ibean Ayo has a small part in that as well, doing it, you know, I think beneath the radar that many of you would even look at, just little things that you don't even process, but that do matter. Much like somebody like Stafford. Like, you look at a quarterback like Stafford, who would have much more influence on the game than the player that I'm talking about from St. John's. But he's going to come into a building, and he's just, it's a different energy, and it's a different level of confidence. And he can help carry out Dable's marching orders and probably save their jobs. And more importantly, pull the other young players in a direction that they got to get pulled. Because the longer you play, you know, empty Decembers and fairly hollow Januaries, the longer this malaise for both the Jets and the Giants is going to linger. Like, you know, even though Glenn's just starting, like let's just say I can't see this happening because I just can't. But let's just say the Jets had a miserable season, like 4-13 miserable. You know, now you're at a point, you go into year number 5 for these young stars or you know, possible stars. They haven't won a damn thing. Now, it doesn't mean that it's directly their fault, but their progress has been slowed because of the culture. I think Stafford brings some touchdowns, and I think he brings a culture change. So I'm all in on Stafford for the Giants. I would absolutely do it. Let me get Joey on Staten Island. What's happening, Joe? How you doing today?
Hello.
Joe, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, buddy? Listen, I got a trade proposal for Stafford. Now, if we're going to get a 37-year-old quarterback and pay him $50 million a year, we can't give up draft picks because we can't afford to put people around him. Then we can't draft people to put him around him. So I was thinking, and obviously, you got to give to get.
Yep.
So I was thinking about offering Kayvon Thibodeau straight up for Stafford. He could go back to L.A. He could sell his brand over there or whatever it is that he doesn't do here.
Yep.
And I just want to know your thoughts on it.
Well, let me ask you this. I think most people know my thoughts on Kayvon Thibodeau. Do you think Kayvon Thibodeau has a chance to be a great player?
I no longer want to wait. How's about that? Whether he is or he isn't,
I agree.
It doesn't look like it's happening here.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. That's kind of the point. So why would Sean McVay, who's forgotten more football than you and I and our entire family trees will ever know, why would he want Kayvon Thibodeau?
Well, maybe he feels like, you know, it's like adding a draft pick. He's a young player. Maybe
a draft pick
who's
going to get paid.
Get more out of him.
Yeah, but Joey, think about this. A draft pick who's going to get paid. And if you love the player, that's one thing. If you're intrigued by the player and you like him but you don't love him, you're not committing to an edge rusher who's going to make, you know, if he was really, really what people thought he would be, making $25, $30 million a year at some point maybe. No. The more appealing move is for the Rams to get young draft equity. I mean, like draft equity itself, not young players. I don't think that would work at all. I don't think they would want him.
I just think it's worth trying. He's a young player. You know, he has some NFL experience, so he's not like a total gamble.
No, he's not terrible. He's just not a superstar.
Right.
And he's never going to be one.
And he might look better on their team than ours, just like everybody else who leaves the Giants. Everywhere else they go, they look better.
Yeah, that's the most salient point that you made. There you go. That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, well, maybe he will go there. He'll be a star. Join everybody else, right? I don't know. I think that the Giants going to have a lot of competition. Like, there's this notion, like, you go back to the Rodgers situation when the Jets were courting Aaron Rodgers. There really weren't many other teams, if any, that made a serious, serious play for him. I think it's going to be different for Stafford. I think the Raiders are going to have interest in Stafford. I know the Giants are going to have interest in Stafford. I don't think the Jets will or necessarily should, but I guess you leave the door a little bit ajar. I think the Steelers are absolutely going to be in the mix. And by the way, the Steelers have what? I think it's the 21st overall pick. So that's why, and I wasn't trying to shout you down, but that's why, like, trading Kayvon Thibodeau for Stafford straight up has no appeal if I'm the Rams. Because the Steelers are, I don't think there's any doubt that the Steelers would be willing to offer that 21st pick. Now, there's no way the Giants are giving up number 3, which is why the Giants, to usurp the offer of the Steelers, or at least a potential offer of the Steelers, I believe that the Giants will have to come with maybe 2 second rounders this year and next year. And then maybe, I don't know, I'll let these people figure it out, but like a 5th that becomes a 4th or whatever, based on incentive and playing time. There's obviously a recipe to figure that out. I'll let them do it. But there's going to be some offers out there, and not just the Giants. So no, Kayvon Thibodeau's not going to get it done. Joe's in Secaucus. What's up, Joe?
BT, we're shaking, baby.
All good, Joey.
All right. Let me ask you a question. Do you really think, and I know we need a quarterback, do you think he's an NFC East quarterback by being in the outside where he's a dome and a West Coast quarterback? He's never had cold Philadelphia, cold Washington before, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, and I think it's a good question, but I think it's an easy answer. Number one, I think the answer is yes for me. Now, I know he was in a dome in Detroit. Okay,
right.
But you got to go to Lambeau once a year. You got to go to Chicago once a year. I know Minnesota's a dome, so forget about that. And oh yeah, by the way, who was better in the playoff game? Was it Jalen Hurts or Stafford in the snow? The answer was Stafford. Stafford was terrific against the Eagles. So my answer is yeah.
Yeah, you can give him all that money. Hey, BT, you don't
think
we need
good,
other
dude.
Position players?
Joe, I think he's really good.
You don't think he's going to be like a Kurt Warner experiment?
Well, no, because I think that it would be very different in this regard. Kurt was brought here, you know, basically to hold Eli's hand until Eli was ready.
Yeah.
Okay, but then Kurt went to Arizona and got them to the Super Bowl. And by the way, when Kurt was playing, and I've talked to Tiki about this on and off the air, the Giants were a winning team. I think the record was 5-4. Not that they were like 7-2, but they had a pretty good record with Kurt. So I think Kurt would, now he never looked like he never like looked great in the Giants. I never felt like wow, that's Kurt.
Yeah.
I know,
right?
It felt a little off, a little whatever.
Yeah,
looked pretty good in Arizona.
Let me ask you another question quickly and everything. I don't follow college bowl at all. There's nobody we can't draft, pick up in the third, fourth round. Anybody like that? That's instead of wasting, giving somebody all this money
or going
with these 2 kids.
You're talking about quarterbacks.
Yeah.
No, listen,
anybody
Joe,
out there?
Yeah, there's always somebody out there. Now I'm just gonna be up front with you. I have no idea how the hell. I don't even know if Shedeur Sanders is gonna be good, let alone a flyer in the third or fourth round. Now, I know there's a history, whether it's Russell Wilson, whether it's Joe Montana, back in the day. That was Notre Dame, what, fourth round for Joe? Tom Brady, you know, sixth round. Or, you know, much lesser success story. But like Chad Pennington, like late for the Jets in, what was that, 2000? I think, yeah, that was when they had the four first-round picks. You know, you can always find somebody unconventionally if you have leeway to do it. The Giants, they can't. Joe Shane's going to take a flyer on somebody in the fourth round and hope he saves his ass? It's the dumbest thing in the world. Now, what could be smart is to get Stafford and then maybe get somebody in round four that you stash away a little bit. That's different. But passing on Stafford and passing on Darnold and passing on, you know, Sanders and Ward, whatever, and by getting a stud defensive lineman at three and hoping that you find your quarterback, and no way is that happening. That would be the dumbest thing, the most irresponsible thing that they could possibly do. Let me get Bobby and Belmore. Wanted to get back to some of the Yankee stuff. Bobby, what's going on?
Hi, BT. Before I get to that, I guess I just disagree with you about Rodgers considering the 25th rated quarterback and playing the most important position in sports. And, you know, he's going 5 wins this year, but you don't seem to think he's part of the problem. But let me get to the baseball.
Wait, I lost your point. I'm not sure what you meant there.
He said he wasn't part of the problem. I think the Jets disagree with you. I mean, he plays the most important position in sports.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
He wants five.
Yeah. And, I mean, listen, Bobby, they could. Did you say 5 first-round picks for Rodgers? Not even close.
No. 5 wins.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, they disagree. And that's certainly their right. And I hope that they're right, but they're not right yet.
Okay. Let me get to the baseball. BT, I know, you know, Iglesias, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. Why don't the Yankees go after him?
I'll take him.
And DJ LeMay was paying $15 million a year. They're not gonna pay him a lot of money.
I'll take him. I've said that many times. I'll take him on the team. Absolutely.
Why aren't any teams interested in this guy? This guy led the league in hitting with his at-bats.
Yeah.
Hit 337, hit 380 with runs in scoring position, hit 480 with runs in scoring position with two outs.
Great
leader. I don't understand why. Not just the Yankees and the Mets. Why aren't
anybody
interested?
The Angels. I don't know. Bobby, the only thing that I can think of, and thanks for the call there, Bob. Appreciate that. And Hoff, I want to pull you in for a sec. I'm sure Evan has probed into this on the Rico at some point. I know you do. I'll fill you. I know you were listening to something else. Bobby wanted to know about Iglesias. And like, you know, would he be good for the Yankees? I'm like, you've heard me say I take him. And maybe why not back to the Mets? And maybe that happens with some injuries here. But why is my guess and my answer is that he's outpricing himself. Why is nobody else going after Iglesias?
Well, because you nailed it. He is outpricing himself. But also the reality of Jose Iglesias, which, again, I think he had a great season last year. He was definitely an impact player.
Yep.
But he's a utility guy trying to become or get paid like a starter. No offense.
Do we know that for a fact, or are we just guessing that? Do you know any numbers?
I don't know any numbers, but let's put it this way: he's got Scott Boras, as his agent. So he's outpricing everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No offense to Jose Iglesias; he's been a great defensive player. But up until last year, he was about to be done with baseball.
I know he's going to quit. He was in the minors. I know.
So what are we doing here? Now listen. That's fine. Bring him in as a utility guy, but he honestly can't be your... I'm telling you right now, Jose Iglesias can make contact with the baseball. That's good. He'll bat about 280. That's okay, but he's got zero production. He's not going to give you 50-plus RBIs. His glove is good enough to get you by, but it's not good enough to give you like a multi-year deal. And if you're looking for $10 million...
You think he's looking for 2 years, $20 million?
I mean, why not? He had a great year last year.
I mean, you can look it for, but at some point you got to adjust. He ain't going to get it.
Yeah, well, Pete Alonso was looking for $170 million or $180.
Yeah, and he didn't come close to it.
I know.
So Iglesias is not getting 2 years of 20. I don't know. I have not seen a hard, tangible offer, but the man's got value. Now, listen, I can see if he was like a 223 career hitter and he just had this 1 year out of nowhere. All right, then what are we doing here? But, you know, he's around 282, 283 lifetime, as you know. We know what he did last year with the Mets, but he's a great culture guy. He's got a little defensive versatility. I think I've always liked him. He can run. Not that he's stealing bases, but he's a good base runner. He runs hard. I don't know. I just think that having Jose Iglesias on my team makes my defensive depth better, gives me some more offensive options, or optionality, as the geeks say. And I think he makes my clubhouse awesome. I love him. I don't know why. And I'm not saying you don't like him, but you seem to be like lukewarm, like, eh.
Yeah, oh, no, because I just know who he is. Like, last year, it was a good momentum. You know, it was good for the team, for the vibe. I got it. But how often can you build off of that vibe? Are you going to do that back-to-back years? No, eventually the play on the field has got to...
Yep, but you're not leaning on him as much. You got Soto, you got Vientos for a full year, you got, you know,
yeah,
Lindor, you know.
If you bring in Soto, I mean, if you bring in Iglesias, where are you putting him?
Like, I don't know. I don't know. Now, I hear you. I'm not saying there's a spot necessarily in Queens. The caller was like, hey, would you take him on the Yankees? Yeah. And I've said that for over a month. I said it last year, I'd take him.
He's cheaper.
I don't know how he doesn't have a job, is all I'm saying. The Giants, the Pot, somebody, the Angels, the Mariners, somebody can use him.
It sounds like a lot of guys are just being picky about where they're going. They don't want to take the Blue Jays money, but they want to take the Mets or the Yankee money.
Yeah, they can't give that money away up there in Toronto. It's nuts. Oh, my God. Let me get Maddie in Middletown, BT and Sal. Matt, what's happening?
Hey, Sal, how are you?
It's BT. What's up, Maddie?
I'm sorry. Okay. BT, my bad. Yeah, I apologize about that.
Well, good.
Talking about the Jets situation, and I'm going to echo, I haven't been listening all day, but I'm going to echo the Aaron Rodgers and who we're going to do to replace him. I was one of those guys, too. I wanted Aaron Rodgers back. Watching every game last year, while Aaron Rodgers wasn't great, I mean, you can't tell me the defense wasn't the problem. If you had 2 years ago's defense with Aaron Rodgers on the team, in my opinion, they won 10, 11 games. But that defense was a paper tiger defense.
Stunk.
Stout the run.
Stunk.
Big play after big play.
Stunk.
So I'm so tired of being Aaron Rodgers being blamed. Well, that's already sailed in the wind.
Yeah.
But I do not want, under any circumstances, do I want Justin Fields. The guy can't throw a touchdown.
Yeah, he threw 10 touchdowns. He had 10 touchdowns and one pick last year.
Yeah, I know, but how many times did their defense win against the Steelers, or did Justin Fields win?
Yeah, no, I get you. Listen, I think somebody like Fields can steal you a win or two. He's a bridge. Granted, an athletically appealing one based on his age and potential upside, but I'm not saying Fields makes the Jets whatever, but I think he's a main target, and I'm okay with that. The one thing quickly on Rodgers, and you blame the Jets defense, and I agree. And it doesn't matter, but just to be fair to the conversation, I can't let this one slide because you seem like you're ready to absolve Rodgers. I can't do that because the first part of the year, there were wins to be had, and Rodgers didn't get him in the end zone when he had to. Get him in the end zone, there's at least four games. Now, I know Zuerlein, kicks, penalties. Not saying it's his fault, but he was not without blame. They were very – see, the thing about Aaron last year, and I that's why I think he's going to be a lot better this year – the first part, like the numbers in totality look good, but if you watched them from 1 through, week 18, they were fairly hollow and insignificant to contributing to victory. I think that that's undeniable. I think that changes a little bit this year, wherever he goes, provided he goes to a decent team. But he's gone. Yeah, but I can't absolve him. I mean, come on, the Vikings game, bunch of picks, had a chance to win it late. You pick a game early. Now, the Denver game in the rain, well, they scored 12 points. I think it was 13-12. Zuerlein missed one at the gun. But still, score. Get another touchdown. And I think he will this year because I think he trusts his body again. I think he's going to be better. You tell me, like, Aaron Rodgers, provided it's not just to go to a horrendous situation just to play one more year, it's a fairly competitive, fairly stable situation. I think Rodgers throwing 30 touchdowns. I really do. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Scotty doesn't know.
All right, BT and Sal back here on the Fans Brandon Tierney Sal Licata Show. 888-808-1019 is the number. All right, so Hoff, you got to help me with something here. So I was just buzzing through social media before, and we'll get back to these Yankee calls, LaMette action, a lot of Jet and Giant quarterback stuff as well. And I saw this, and I'm like, okay. So Luka played the Mavericks last night in the first game since he was traded against them. since he was traded. And then I just saw this during the break where, as I read, the Dallas Mavericks reportedly had an issue with Luka's smoking hookah and drinking beer. This is per The Athletic. Quote, make no mistake, the people who witnessed Doncic's last days in Dallas do not paint a flattering picture of his professionalism, calling him lazy, etc. Now, okay, so hookah. Describe this.
Hookah is basically some sort of, I guess, tobacco.
Okay,
and but it's flavored. It's all flavored stuff. So basically, you go to hookah bars and you basically just smoke it out of these like
these communal pipes, almost massive bongs, for lack of a better description.
Exactly, but there's no, you don't get high.
That's what I'm saying. I've done that. Yeah. I mean, I tried it once. Matter of fact, right. And, God, this was a million years ago. I was in Las Vegas for a Jimmy Buffett concert at the MGM. And I don't know if it was a hookah bar or they just set it up for the concert. But I'm like, huh, this looks fun. And I thought we were going to get all twisted. I'm like, let's go.
No.
Yeah, I mean, we must have taken like 10 pulls. I'm like, I feel the same. Why am I not feeling
twisted? It's like a huge, massive vape.
Yeah. I'm like, God, this. And before this was in like 2000, vapes, I don't even think vapes were out yet. Not that I'd be looking for one of those anyway for the tobacco stuff, and it didn't make me feel different at all. Yeah, there was a flavor to it. Now that I think about it, I guess it was a nice tranquil communal setting, like, you know, five or six of us and a few other people we didn't know, you know, banging the hookah before we went to, you know, a little Margaritaville and Finn's and, you know, the other thing, cheeseburger in paradise from Jimmy Buffett. But like, why would the Mavericks have an issue with him smoking hookah?
So what I read was that with...
It's a big deal.
Well, with him, in 5 years, the way that he, I guess, parties, whether, because it's not just hookah, it's beer and hookah,
I know.
Right?
Well, the beer's calories, I get that.
Right, so, and the way that his, maybe there's some other things going on too.
Okay.
But that they're concerned in 5 years, he's basically going
to
break down.
Which I don't blame them, because he ballooned up to almost 270 pounds, and for a guard, that's not good. I just, you know, when I saw this, and I figured you would say that, but I didn't know if you had a lot, I only tried it once. I didn't know if you had a lot of experience with it or more than me. Like, to me, like, if you're banging back a pack of cigarettes a day, cardiovascularly, clearly that's going to impede your ability to get up and down the court. Like, that's not a good thing, but, you know, a few bangs from the hookah trail, whatever.
I got to be honest with you. This might sound stupid.
Yeah.
But vaping, I think, was worse. It's worse than smoking.
I know it is. Well, because there's different types of...
chemicals.
For sure.
Dude, just a quick history lesson. I smoked for like 15 years of my life.
Okay.
And when I got off of smoking, I tried like a E-Logic cigarette or whatever it was. Like basically something...
When they first came out, those things?
And it was so bad, it got me to quit smoking altogether. Because the vape was worse. I was getting more smoker's cough and whatnot from the vaping.
Really?
Than anything else. I was like, I'm done with this.
You probably smoked it more. I know with one of my really good friends was a heavy smoker, right? And like whenever we play cards, especially when we're inside... The golf course is different. You do whatever you want. But I noticed that he probably smokes the vape more than he does the cigarettes. And he quit a long time ago. God bless him. Because, you know, if you're playing cards, you're not going to excuse yourself every hand because you're playing cards. Whereas with the vape, you just bang it whenever you want.
Yeah, but when I was doing it, it was just very early on. So you weren't just like, I wasn't sitting here in the office, you know, taking a pull out of my E-Logic cigarette.
You'd
know what
still
I mean?
Make it like a cigarette break.
And I'd walk outside.
Okay,
all that
gotcha.
Stuff. Yeah.
All right, there you go. All right, 888-808-1019 is the number. It's BT and Sal. And just got a text from Sal. Thumbs up. Came through the surgery good.
By the way,
he's ready.
He sent me a picture. And I got to be honest, I think it's the same eye that they did surgery on.
I didn't see it. Hold on.
Yeah, he sent me one. It looks like the same exact eye. Unless he sent me the same picture again.
Uh-huh. Looking for double sympathy? Did he put it on social media or just send it to you?
No, he sent it to me. But I asked him, I go, is that the same eye that you did last time?
Yeah. Well, he did his right eye last time. So look at the picture and...
You sure? I thought it was the left eye.
I think it was.
I think it was the left eye.
I think, I'll try to remember the picture that he posted. And I feel like the patch... was on, if you're looking at social media, was on the left side of the screen, which will be his right eye. But I could be wrong. It could be the other way.
I don't know. I hope they did the right one.
Yeah.
Sometimes those social media pictures are reversed, the mirror images. So it could be the wrong side.
Knowing Sal, they probably did the same eye.
No.
Yes. Dude,
can you imagine that?
He'd have to go back for a third.
Oh, my God. Hey, real quick on this. Do you, I don't want to just get too away from sports, but a little gripe, not a big one. Does your wife sync the family calendar up? Like on her phone, the iPhone?
Yes, I get messages every day of my life.
I don't mean text messages. I mean like on the calendar, you input like Anthony, baseball training, 5 p.m., JD, Stepanak. Well, like,
yeah.
Okay. Do you do it? Like when you know that there's something, do you do it?
I do it because I get yelled at when it's not in the calendar.
All right. I don't know how. I guess I know. I thought I knew how to do it. So, but I don't do it because I just tell her. And it's very rare where it's popped up where she's like, oh, I've got a dinner with a client, or I've got dinner with the girls tonight. You know, you've got to watch it, which is fine. Like on a Wednesday, and I say, I won't be home late. I'm like, yeah, no problem. I'm like, oh, I didn't know. She's like, well, why didn't you look at the calendar? Just tell me. Yeah, I go to sleep next to you when you wake up next to me. Tell me. Right? So, but because we are busy and the kids are getting older, there's something every night. I put in 3 days ago, Colt's got a hitting lesson tomorrow. I can't take him because I got to go to St. John's to do the TV show. I said, let me be a good husband and let me put this in the stupid calendar that she asked me to put in. And I guess I put it in wrong. So she didn't get mad. Like, again, she wasn't snapping on me, but she's like, no, I didn't see it. Now she's like, you got to put it on the yellow shared calendar so I could see it. And then she sends me a screenshot. There's a public calendar, which is purple. There's family, which is gold. There's just her, which is orange. What in the world is going on with this shared calendar?
No, that's way too much information.
It's a waste of time.
Just put it on there. Well, no, I'm okay with the calendar, but like, see, my issue is that I do put it on there because I get yelled when I don't put it on,
yeah.
And then I get told, well, you never told me. I go, I put it on the calendar like you told me to.
Oh.
So what am I supposed to do? I'm going to tell you and then put it on the calendar, and then what? You're going to, then you forget it's on the calendar.
Yeah, but if you don't, agreed, but I'm, okay, I am conditioned to have conversations with my wife.
Do that in these days?
Yeah. Sometimes it depends, you know, sometimes I get the, yeah, I got you, I just get to the point. It depends. Yeah.
This is why I go back to my puzzles now. This is why I work on my puzzles.
You hit the hookah soon, too. but no, I'm not conditioned to go to my iPhone and go to the calendar and tap in every single day and look at what we have. Because the only thing that matters to me is the sports stuff. I know she's taking him to violin in the morning on Thursdays or Wednesdays. And I know that she's taking my daughter to violin on two, because it's before school. Like anything before school, I know she's doing. I don't have to look at the calendar.
Right.
If there's a tutoring or anything other than sports, it's generally her because it's either right after school or if it's a dentist and she's got to take him out of school or if it's a doctor, she's got to. That's all her. I don't need to look in the calendar for that. And I know when all the sports stuff is, and most of the sports stuff, if not all of it, outside of soccer, and it's not soccer season, is her. So I'm not looking at calendars. I'm just telling her, hey, we got practice tonight.
Yeah.
We got this.
You're telling her what's going on. You're not asking.
No, I don't mean it like that.
Okay.
I don't mean it. No, not at all. No, she loves sports like I do. But no, it's just, anyway, it's just, I probably spend too much time on it. But the confusing nature of the stupid calendar on the iPhone, I just tell me. Mark's in Middletown. Mark, what's cooking, buddy? How you feeling today?
Hey, BT, I think the hookah's a little more hash than vape.
I was hoping it was that night, but it wasn't. That was the problem.
Yeah. Well, not with you.
I took bad hits. I felt
sure
the same.
They're worried about that. Yeah. So on the Stafford thing, so I'm a Ram fan, right? So obviously he's trying to squeeze the Rams for 3 for $50 for 150. Now the Rams' offense is far superior to the Giants. If he comes to the Giants, I'm not a Giant fan, but he's going to get killed behind that line. He has no mobility.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's what.
So, I mean, if you're the Giants, why would you want Stafford? The Rams have better receiver, better running back, and a better offensive line. He comes to the Giants, he's got one wide receiver. He's going to get killed.
Well, first of all, I think Malik Nabers could be a superstar, and I know, I get that, but. But then why wouldn't that apply to, say, a Sanders or a Cam Ward? Like, if you don't want, I know that they can move around a lot better, so maybe that's the answer. But if you don't want Stafford to get hit behind the bad old line, well, why would you want a young kid who's going to be around hopefully for 15 years getting hit?
Well, he's not costing you $150 million.
No, he will. He'll cost you $300 million if you draft the right kid and he gets a second contract.
Right, but you take that, you know, 5 years down the road when you got a nice team behind you. I want Stafford to stay with the Rams, but not at $50 million a year. And I know he's equating his play to what these other guys are getting paid. So I fully understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I think, you know.
Go ahead, Mark.
I think the Rams are trying to keep a, you know, in line with a decent payroll because they're going to have to pay Puka. They're going to have to pay Williams.
Yes.
And they obviously got those defensive rookies that played really well this year. So eventually they're going to have to pay him.
Yep.
So, you know, $150 million is a lot. Now, I love him and I like him. But as if you're a Giants fan, I don't think you want Stafford with his lack of mobility.
Who do you want to play? Who do you want to play quarterback week one for the Giants?
I'm not a Giants fan, so I could care less.
But you got to have an answer. Hey, if you tell me you don't want somebody, which I respect, you got to tell me who you do want.
All right, Tyrod Taylor and let a rookie.
Tyrod Taylor's on the Jets.
All right, well, I got that wrong.
Well, I think you got everything wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
One question I'm dying to ask you.
Go ahead.
Did your love of Mattingly overcome your father's love for the Mets and he allowed you to be a Yankee fan?
Did my love for Mattingly, that's a good question. Did my love for Mattingly overcome my love for the, or my dad's love for the Mets?
No, your dad was a Mets fan and he allowed you to become a Yankee fan because you wouldn't allow Colton to be a Mets fan, would you?
No. But I'll tell you I would not. I would not allow him to be a Mets fan, no. But what I don't like, and he does do this, and I'm trying to coach it out of him. You know, he's like, Alonso, jeez, because he hears me sometimes on the radio. Or he's like, God, I hate the Mets. I hate the Mets. Like some of his friends are Mets fans at school. I'm like, you don't have to hate the Mets. Don't be that Yankee fan. Like, I'm actually trying to change that. And it's working. Like, worry about your house, you know? The Mets is still the Mets, even though everybody thinks they're not. You don't have to walk around saying it. If that makes me feel better about Soto, losing Soto, I'm going to say it. No, I think my dad's different in the regard, like when it's a little different with my daughter, not because she's a girl, but like there was no my wife's from my wife's a Dallas girl, which means her Cowboys influence as a fan, and she's a crazy fan, was hitting somebody in our household, and it wasn't going to be our firstborn son. That wasn't happening. He was going to be a Jets fan no matter what, and he was going to be a Knicks fan no matter what, and he was going to be a Yankees fan no matter what, and he was going to be a St. John's fan no matter what. Period. Now. Like if he didn't love sports, if you know, if I was cursed with that, I mean, there comes a point where as a dad, he's not a sports fan. He doesn't love it the way you maybe hoped or thought that he would. And you got to move on and you got to take the L with that and just keep it moving. And what does he love? Okay. Or she love? My dad was never, it was never communicated like, oh, you're a Knicks fan. This is a Jets household. Because it wasn't a Jets household, and it wasn't even necessarily a hardcore Mets household because his real love was the Brooklyn Dodgers. Got to remember, my dad was born in 43. I mean, they win it in 55. He's 11, 12 years old. That's his wheelhouse. So he gravitated to the Mets when the Dodgers bounced out west, but he couldn't replicate, he couldn't feign that love for the Dodgers that he had for the Mets. He didn't try. But the Mets were always on first, but he didn't force them down my throat. And, you know, he watched the Jets and the Giants, and I remember him betting on both teams and betting against best ball and watching football every Sunday. But he didn't shove that down my throat. He introduced me to St. John's, but it wasn't like he grew up like this fervent St. John's fan like I did or like my kids are now. He let me make my own decisions with that. And then what he did, and I really appreciate this, when he saw how much I loved baseball and how much I loved, revered, idolized Mattingly, he fed into it just like Ewing, and he took me to games, you know, and that was our common thread to the point where I remember being up at Marist, like, you know, before we would go out or even after practice, whatever, I would call my dad and BS about Pat Riley's Knicks. Matter of fact, I mean, it wasn't very digital back then. It was just kind of starting. He would send me articles from the Post. And he would still send cash, even though like you could lose it if I needed money, which was pretty much always because I was broke. I would get a package from my dad like once every 2 weeks, and there would be articles from the Post on Ewing, on Riley, on the Jets, on St. John's, like Yankees. He would feed it to me, and no, he didn't. Never dissuaded me from the Yankees because the Dodgers. There was the Dodgers moved, and they died. The day they moved, they died. He liked the Mets. He loved the Dodgers, and he just kind of let me be me. I do think I'm a little more heavy-handed in that regard. And, yeah, that works for my household. He loves the teams that I love. I feel bad some of the teams I've introduced him to, but we can do. Too late.
Give BT and Sal a call to talk New York sports at 888-808-1019. We are the home of New York sports talk. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey, and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts.
You think that Tiki will find his way up in outer space eventually?
Can I see him at some point strapping on a spacesuit and going somewhere? I actually could.
Yeah,
I really could.
Hey, listen, he's already been in the water once with the great white, so I feel like he's open to.
Well, I don't even know that story. He was in a cage, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, he was in a cage. He did it for like CBS, I think. Like,
okay. Oh, gotcha. NBC, you mean? Right?
Well, yeah, or something like that. I don't remember. He did it for something. I don't remember the exact story. One of the TV networks he was working for, they made him go, or asked him, I guess, to go into a cage dive with a shark.
Was that in South Africa? Was that in Australia? Where was it? Was it off the Verrazano Bridge?
Well, it was great white shark, so that was legit.
I know. Would you do that in a cage?
I would do it without a cage.
No, I'm calling nonsense. BS. No, you wouldn't.
I might die, but I would definitely do it.
There's no way you would jump into a shark-infested water.
Yes.
No, and not like sand sharks.
No, great white.
No, I don't believe you.
Totally do it.
No, you wouldn't.
Just give me a pitchfork. We're all good.
What if me and Sal pay for a trip? Will you go do it?
Oh, yeah.
All right, there you go.
Dude, I'm telling my wife, kids, see ya. I'll be back, hopefully.
Just set that will up before you bounce.
Okay.
Hey, what is the most dangerous thing you've ever done, like in terms of an expedition? I don't mean like driving like a lunatic on a parkway. I mean like something where you actually, an adventure.
I climbed Mount Washington Summit.
Did you really?
Yeah.
What's the altitude, do you know?
I don't know, but it's the tallest mountain on like the Northeast, I think. I can't remember the exact.
Where I don't even know where it is.
New Hampshire?
It's all the way up
Delaware
there.
Delaware or something like that? Yeah, it's up. Up.
Well, Delaware and New Hampshire, very, very far apart.
Very different, yes. I know. I can't
Delaware
remember.
Is basically here.
Details are not really there for me, okay. But I climbed it, and okay. I made it. I survived.
Who'd you do it with? You did it with like a group of people?
Yeah, a couple friends. Three other friends. We did it all one day. We got there at like 5 in the morning. Or we got there. We woke up at 5 in the morning. It took about three and a half hours to get up and then 5.5 to walk down.
Really?
Yeah, because we actually walked you walk up, and then we take a picture. There's like whatever. There's the hot spot with the elevation and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then we walked across it because supposedly that was the easiest way to get down.
Okay.
That took an extra half hour, and then we walked down, and my knees were shot.
How old were you? How long ago was this?
I was 30.
You got good pictures? You got to have good pictures 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was surreal. It was
really that good?
It was the coolest thing I've ever done because, like, I could show you pictures, but it doesn't equate to what it actually feels like, what it actually looks like.
Why? The vastness of nature?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I love that stuff. I have not really done... I've hiked. I haven't really hit a high spot. One thing that I've done that was just... I would not do this again. There's no way I would do this again. Where I am at this stage of my life with kids. So we ziplined, my wife and I, on our honeymoon. We went to Costa Rica, right? And... we were in the rainforest, and when I tell you, it wasn't like a little teeny tiny zip line. We were well over 1,000 feet above the jungle, and I just remember I went first, of course. I tested things out, and I like
how'd it go.
I made it. I couldn't do it again. I was nervous doing it. Right, I was in real time, but I didn't have kids. You know, I'm younger. You know, it's just your mindset's a little different, and. I remember the guy was like so casual, yo, because when they've got the harness, like that's kind of around, you know, your stones, you know, like down there and all that, like around, yeah. And he just like, yeah, check, you good? I'm like, just run, double check that once,
yeah,
please.
Okay.
And I did it, and I remember saying before I actually did it, and it was like a maze. So it was like one, then another, then another, then another. Well, it was just one. And I remember looking down. I remember saying to myself, if you're going to do it, look down. Like there's no... like, what are you really accomplishing if you're just staring at the sky and not absorbing the magnitude of the height and the danger and the surrealness of just zipping through a rainforest in Costa Rica? And I remember just saying, man, if this thing's going to snap, it's going to snap. And I was able to get my mind to a place where I enjoyed it, but I don't think I could do it again. I know I couldn't do that again. I would not
maybe
do that
maybe do a little
again.
Hookah before you go
nah,
on
there. I need more than hookah. Yeah, if the hash was in the hookah, like that one guy said, maybe.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I haven't done, it's not, and I know Boomer and Gio did this in Minnesota, and me and Tiki had an invite, but Tiki didn't want to get up. I was like, come on, Tiki, let's go. I got to go ice fishing. I have to go ice fishing. I must.
I don't know if I want to go ice fishing because it's very cold.
Well, no, well, but that's why you have, like, to me, the appeal, yeah, hopefully I would catch a few fish, whatever. But, like, you know, you've got, and I think Boomer and Gio had, like, a wood cabin, and that's what me and Teak had access to, too, with fire and heat. Like, I don't need that. You have a tent. You have a little, you know, a little furnace. You know, you have a little flask. You have a couple of buddies. Like, just one with nature. Oh, that would be awesome.
And that's one with ice. I don't want to be cold when I'm trying to enjoy myself.
It's cold. I get it. I'd much prefer to be warm than freezing, but to like to have somebody drill that, because I think somebody does it for you. There's some sort, I don't know what the device is called, but they drill a hole because it's deep, man. Go through like 3-4 feet of ice.
Yeah, but I see there's too many issues with that. Like
no safety issues, though.
No safety issues
no.
If the ice melts?
I mean, if you go in March in upstate New York and it's, you know, 47 degrees the day before, you probably shouldn't do it.
You got the fire roaring and the ice is melting.
Dude,
and the
it's like 5 feet thick.
My butt will go right through it.
Well, you, yeah, I didn't say I want you there. Yeah, it's true. Manny's in New Hampshire. Wow. Manny,
good morning,
what's going
boys.
On, buddy? BT?
Good afternoon, boys. Hey, I live up here. I was born in Brooklyn, but I've been living up here for a long, long time.
Okay.
And I got a funny Mount Washington story. I'm, on in years now, but my oldest son was 14 years old. I said, we're going to climb Mount Washington.
Okay.
We go up the Ammonoosuc Trail. This is in August, mind you. Ammonoosuc Trail. It's like maybe 75, 80 degrees at the base. Get up there. Everything's iced over. They get this. It's not really snow, but everything is encased in, like, it looks like snow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we get up there, and he looks at me and goes, Dad, this is going to be quite a trip down. I said, oh, it's got a piece of cake. I said, see that train? We took the train.
Yeah, you did?
Train down.
Come on.
Yeah, dead serious. No, when you walk, if you ever climb this thing, you will see all the crosses, and they ain't there for jokes there because the weather can turn on you any time of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, my boy, I wasn't going to attempt it. I said, we get stuck in this thing again.
Really, huh? That's dangerous, huh?
Dude,
I appreciate that.
Oh,
thank
yeah,
you.
Really. Well, kidding aside, people, you get bets on that thing every year.
Wow.
Anyway,
I got you, man. I know
Giants.
It's dangerous, but I didn't think it was that dangerous.
But it's, all kidding aside, you guys, if you have young children, it's a lot of fun. You could take it's called a cog railway. It's a really interesting engineering feat.
Mm-hmm.
And you could take the cog all the way up, and it is a lot of fun. The kids, there's plenty of things to do around up there.
All right.
You can visit the weather observatory. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, too many baseball games. Can't make it. Thanks for the call, Manny. Hoff, speaking of adventures and expeditions, this was an unexpected expedition. A quick story. It is pretty funny. This one I actually learned. I think it's funny. This one I learned that I was actually, that like, I wouldn't say I'm afraid of heights, but this one I realized things were changing with my equilibrium just a little bit. So this is probably 2019. I'm in Utah shooting that show, Man vs. Bear, for Discovery, right? And I was there probably about 5 or 6 weeks by myself. Jen came in, for a couple of days, but it was just really me. We were shooting every day. And one day we had off, there was an issue with the bear, and I'm like, I'm renting a car, man. I'm renting for the couple of weeks. I was making a few bucks, and it was fun. I'm like, I'm renting myself a ragtop, and I'm just driving around Utah, beautiful topography. I'm treating myself, right? So I had this sick Mustang, of course, the Cougine Mustang from back in the day. And I just go for a ride. I don't really know where the ride's going to take me. Long story short, I'm in Ybor City, which is about an hour away from Salt Lake City. And I go into this park, and the elevation was about 6,000 or 7,000 feet. I'm like, oh, this is fun. And I remember it was like sunny. I had my shirt off. Not that I look great, but I got Guns N' Roses. But I'm like, this is my sunglasses. Let's go, man. And I'm going up this hill. I had to go down the hill. And I didn't calculate that as I was driving up. It was a one-lane hill. When I tell you, Hoff, I actually got so spooked. I parked the car and I crawled on hand and knee away from the ledge because there was no like guardrail. And then I don't know who I thought was going to save me. As I'm like on my knees, I'm like, wait a second. What if a bear runs at me and now I fall off the hill? Dude, I had the craziest. Well, I'm not going to see my kids again. I'm going to die. Oh, my God. I'm done with the expeditions and I'm done with the adventures. Let's just keep it simple. Keep it moving. All right, we'll keep it moving. Back tomorrow at 10. We got Evan and Tiki coming up next. Have a great Wednesday. See you tomorrow. Good luck to the Knicks. Bye-bye.